Carolina. We're going to be leaving Wednesday afternoon, headed down there to see if we can't spoil those grandkids a little bit more. They obviously are not spoiled enough. So we're going to be doing that this weekend. So just for your information, let you know, and look forward to this, Brother Ray will be teaching Bible class next Sunday morning, and Chuck Funk will be doing our lesson for worship next Sunday. So keep that in mind, and I ask you to come and encourage both of those guys, and grateful for them being willing to fill in. But we have been in a study we started a few weeks ago, and talking about the cross of Christ. More specifically, we're talking about the significance of the cross of Jesus Christ. Before we get into our lesson this morning, a couple of things I want to tell you about. This evening at 5 o'clock, right here in this auditorium, we will be showing this movie, Little Boy. And that's free. Doesn't cost you anything, and so you come. We also have free popcorn for you. It's just a really great movie, and it's a great opportunity just for some family fellowship. It's a fellowship with church family, with one another. So we invite you all to come back and be with us for the showing of this movie. We'll be starting around 5 o'clock this evening. Now, a couple of other things. Today is the last day for you to bring in your Thanksgiving items for the Thanksgiving baskets. If you have not brought those in yet, you can bring them this evening when you come for the movie. But we're trying to get all those things assembled so that we can get those to the families that they'll be going to, so they'll have them in time for Thanksgiving. So please bring that stuff in this afternoon if you haven't already done so. We thank everybody that has already contributed to that effort to provide a Thanksgiving meal for several families. That otherwise wouldn't be able to have very much of a Thanksgiving. So thank you for that. We had our men's planning meeting yesterday morning, and just a note for the ladies, first of all, that on Saturday, December the 3rd, 9 o'clock, we'll be having the ladies' planning meeting, planning all the events for 2017. So ladies, want you to put that on your calendar and plan to be here for that. And also, I'm going to need a couple of guys to help me fix the breakfast and to serve the ladies for that. So guys, anybody that can help me do that, if you let me know, but I'd like you to put that on your calendar and plan to be here for that. And then also, we have our annual holiday party that we're doing Friday, December the 9th, over here at Brothers Pizza, 6 o'clock. There is a sign-up sheet, as I mentioned earlier, on the bulletin board. You just sign up for that just to let us know how many people are planning to be here for that, so we can let the restaurant know in terms of their preparations and so forth. So please keep those in mind. Hope that you will be able to participate in that. So really fun time. We do an ornament exchange and just have a good time together. So that's what we're going on with that. So last thing here is, for those of you, if you've not already, especially our visitors, out here in the foyer, on the floor in a box next to the table, there are worship packets for the kids. A little metal clipboard that has coloring pages and things of that nature in there for them to use during our worship time. If you haven't gotten one, then they're right out there. You can get one. What we ask you to do is let the children use those during our worship time, as they can work those work pages and so forth. And then just put the clipboards back out there in the box when we're finished with worship this morning. This is something that we're trying to provide for our young people to be able to do. So we're talking about the significance of the cross of Christ. What significance does the cross really have for us in our lives? We're looking at a couple of different questions. First of all, what did the cross accomplish? And through this study, what we're hoping to find is to realize that the Bible tells us a lot of different things that the cross itself accomplished. But then also, this big question: why is the cross still relevant today? Okay, that's a huge question. A lot of people, it's something that happened 2,000 years ago. Why is it still relevant? Why is it so important in people's lives today? One of the things that we realize is that the cross means different things to different people. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the message of the cross, he says, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is, he says, the power of God. So here's a couple of questions for you to think about. First of all, what does the cross mean to you? Okay? What does it really mean to you? And secondly, How relevant is the cross to you in your daily life? You know, when Jesus was calling his disciples, one of the things that he said was, if you want to be my disciple, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And so we need to understand and really evaluate, what does the cross mean to me in my daily walk? And that's one of the ways that I want to challenge you to be thinking about the cross of Jesus and its relevance or significance to you in your life. In our first study, we saw that the cross has only one purpose. Okay? And it was, that purpose was for execution.
Amen.
When Jesus called upon his disciples, he used perhaps the most unlikely symbol to draw people to follow him. And that was the cross. Everybody in Jesus' day knew what the cross represented. They knew what it meant. It meant one thing, and that was death. So when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, people in Jesus' time knew that what he was saying was, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to be willing to die for me.
Amen.
One of the thing that we talked about last week in our study, we realized that one of the things that the cross accomplished was to abolish the law of Moses, and including the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath worship and all of those kinds of things. That all of the law of Moses was taken out of the way, Paul said, and nailed to the cross of Christ. So that's one of the significant things that the cross accomplished, the cross of Jesus. So this morning, as we continue talking about the cross of Christ, what I want to focus on is looking at that the cross, one of the things it accomplished was that it demonstrates God's love for us. Okay? Now, one of the things that we oftentimes realize is that timing is everything, isn't it? Especially when you're looking at photographs, oftentimes timing is what makes the difference in a photograph and makes some of them really what they are. For instance, when you look at this photograph, this guy is really not eating those people that are coming out of that helicopter, okay? But it really is a matter of timing. This giraffe, this mama giraffe decided, I guess she wanted to get a little meal for her baby, and so she decided to pluck that airplane out of the sky. Again, timing is everything, isn't it? It looks like something that it's really not, but timing is very important. I don't know what to say about this picture. This one just really, again, timing. You know, what an awesome, awesome picture, I think, with that silhouette. And again, timing is everything. This bear happened to be, help me out here, at the right place at the right time, with his mouth wide open, right? So again, emphasizes the importance of timing. How about this one? You know, what do you say here? These two cats is caught right at the perfect moment here, right? And this one is my favorite of all of these photographs. No, this is not one of my grandchildren. I don't think that little girl realized she's about to get her head bitten off by that dolphin, which is actually on the other side of the glass. But again, shows the way that timing really is important in the things. Now, you want to talk about timing and how important it is? Think about these folks. The U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. These are folks who fly by timing. Precision timing in all of the different maneuvers that they do. Timing is everything in the things that they do. And if they are off by just a split second, then disaster can strike. Because to them, they train with precision. And again, timing is everything to them. But you know, with God, God operates on perfect timing, doesn't he? In other words, everything that God does, he does it in his time, and he does it when the time is exactly right or perfect. The wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And that includes, by the way, all of the things that God is working in this world. That's included in everything. Okay? Nothing is left out of that, including all of God's works that he works in this world and in our lives. It is God's perfect timing. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4 puts it this way. When the fullness of time had come. Some of your translation will say, when the time had fully come. Okay? God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And again, some of your translations say that we might receive the full rights of sonship. But the emphasis here is that it was when the fullness of time had come, when God's time was right. You see, one of the things we have to understand about God is that He will not be rushed. Okay? God will not be hurried. I can never in my wildest imagination think of God kind of getting in a hurry and going, oh man, what am I going to do? I sure hope I don't run into any red lights on the way to do this today. Okay? That does not happen to God. Okay? He doesn't get in a hurry. Everything works out according to His plan in His perfect time. When the fullness of God's time comes, then He works what He is going to work. Because God's time is perfect. Peter writes it this way. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own desires, or their own lusts rather, and saying, where is this promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So in other words, they're saying, we've been around all this time. When is He coming? He's not coming back. It's been 2,000 years. Where is God? He goes on to say in verse 9 this, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, it is all about God's timing. And I, for one, am glad that He is patient.
Amen.
Say. Let's take a look at our passage that was read for us as we began this morning and understand this in the context of God's timing. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5 and verse 6 says this, you see, at just the right time. Okay? Just the right time. In other words, the timing was God's time. We are not the ones who get to choose. Okay? But it is just the right time. And when was that time? Well, he tells us when that time was. When we were still powerless. That's the right time. Okay? And what happened at just the right time? Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I don't think it's doing a disservice to the text at all if you were to in place of ungodly there, just put in there, me. Okay? Me. Because that's who it's talking about, every single one of us. You see, at just the right time, when I was still powerless, Christ died for me. The Greek word for powerless here, okay, asthenes, means weak or without strength. And it's really a medical term, okay, that talks about someone's health, so to speak. All right? And so really what he's talking about here and what he's saying is that we have the complete inability to accomplish our own salvation. Okay? We were powerless to do anything to affect our own salvation. God chose to do that for us. And then Paul talks about this rarity. And it indeed is a rarity. Look at what he says. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, you think, well, wait a minute. I thought a righteous person, that's a good thing, right? But nobody's willing to die for a righteous man. He says very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Why? Well, think about it this way and understand it, I think, the way Paul wants. A righteous person is understood to be someone who is a just person, a person of integrity, okay? But it's someone who does what is right and just in matters, any matter that comes before them. They're going to do whatever is right and just. You can count on that. But that person is going to do that without connection, without relationship, without emotion, without really getting involved. In other words, I'm doing what's right because that's right. And Paul says it's rare for someone to die for someone who only does to others what justice demands. In other words, it's really hard to get excited about somebody like that other than the fact that they do what's right. Compared to the person who is good. Look at what he says. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Well, wait a minute. What's the difference between a good man and a righteous man? Well, here he is. A good man. You see, a good man is one who not only does what is just and right, but they do it with kindness and love and mercy. A connection to people. And someone, Paul says, might be willing to die for that kind of person. In other words, it's someone that has relationship with other people, someone that has a connection, rather than just doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. Do you understand the difference in what Paul's saying here? Jesus put it this way: greater love has no one than this, lay down his life for his friends. Let's talk about this demonstration of love. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people who is a visual learner. I like for people to demonstrate or show me how to do something. I can learn a lot easier that way than by just simply reading about it. Any of you like that? Yeah, there's a good many of us. You see, I can read something over and over and over again and go, I don't get it. But show me how to do it. Demonstrate it for me, okay? Do a how-to demonstration for me, and I can usually pick that up, okay? And in the case of Jesus, we have a live demonstration, okay? That is a demonstration of God's love. The last part of this passage, verse 8, Paul goes on to say, after talking about the righteous man and the good man, he says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Okay? God's love is demonstrated to us. It is a live demo. A visual, if you will, that shows how much God loves you and how much He loves me. And that demonstration was given on the cross of Calvary. You see, Jesus died for us not while we were righteous or good, but He died for us while we were His enemies. We were His enemies. That's how much love God has for us. And He demonstrated that not by telling us about it, you see, but by doing it on the cross. Now, His intention is that we would learn from that and do likewise. That we would in turn love one another. God showed us how to love by dying on the cross. It calls upon us, through that demonstration of His love, to love one another the same way. What Paul is doing here is really making a comparison or a contrast, if you will, man's love on the one side, where, you know, we're not really willing to die for someone that we don't really know very well at all, that righteous man, even though that righteous man is doing things that are right, people aren't usually willing to die for someone that they don't have any kind of investment in. But someone that's a good man, someone that's been good to them, and they're in a relationship with, and we can count on them, and they're good, and all those kinds of things, someone might be willing to die for that kind of a person. But yet God's love goes beyond that. Because God's love is without the goodness and without the righteousness. In other words, we need to understand, God did not say to us, go and get your act together. Go and become good people. And then I'll think about saving you. God demonstrated His love through the cross of Jesus while we were still lost in our sins, separated from Him. And the reason He did that is because He wanted us to be reconciled to Him. He accomplished that through the blood of His Son on the cross of Calvary. John, in 1 John chapter 4, puts it this way. This is real love. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So God's response, or God's love, is not in response to our loving Him. God's love is in response to our sinfulness. And what He asks of us is to respond to His love by returning that love to Him. That's one of the things that was accomplished in the cross. God demonstrated how much He loves you. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. As we talked about in our Bible class this morning, it doesn't really matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what has been done to you. Jesus Christ died for you.
Amen.
I don't know where you are in your relationship with God at this moment in time. There may be some here this morning who have not given their life to Christ, that you are still separated from Him by your sins. The first thing I want to encourage you to remember is that God still loves you. But He wants you to be reconciled to Him. And He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you in your sins. If that's where you are this morning, I want to encourage you to accept the love that God has for you. To call upon Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. To repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Have that sin washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning, if that's where you are with God. There may be someone here this morning who's already a Christian, but maybe there's things going on in your life that, first of all, shouldn't be going on, because there are things that don't belong in the life of a person that belongs to Christ. Perhaps maybe Satan has you tied up and tangled up in sin. You need to get rid of that. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need encouragement, guidance, teaching. I don't know. Whatever it is you need, this church family is ready and willing to help you so that you can live and walk daily in love of Jesus. We can't help you with it if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an invitation. A time for anyone to be able to come and say, hey, I need help with this. I need prayers with this. I need some teaching. This is what I need. Wes has chosen a song that we're going to stand and sing, and the invitation of the Lord is open. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone who'd like to come up here. We want to serve you and help you in your relationship with Christ Jesus. So we provide this time, and the invitation is open to anyone to come. Let's stand together and sing.